change from a three-year curriculum, three-year cycle, to a four-year cycle on our classes for our children. I think it's a great improvement. Looking forward to it. So in no matter will I intend to be critical of our classes. All I want to do is see all of us learning more. This is going to be a very unusual lesson. It's taken from a video where Max Dawson and David Manning, both from the Dowling Road Church in Beaumont, Texas. Of course, Max is going to be supposed to be here in December. David's going to be here Thursday night. So this is a little preview into some of their stuff. But they were doing a video where they were discussing Bible class programs. I'm not sure when the video was made. I think it may have been before David moved to Beaumont for the second time, which had been before 2013, I think. Carla called my attention to the video back in May, and most of the notes that I've been talking from tonight, I wrote 3 months ago. So I've been looking at it for a good long while. Let's begin with this general observation. Everything we do in our service to the Lord should be done with excellence. If you think back to the Old Testament times when they were offering sacrifices, what was it that described that lamb? Without spot, without blemish. They would go out to that herd and take the very best one they had. Not the second best, not the leftovers. God wanted their best. And tonight I'm not just talking to our teachers, but I think somewhere in the lesson, all of us will come in, hopefully. So the person leading singing needs to do his best. The person maintaining the building needs to do his best. Every time I get before a class, I need to strive to do my best. We never need to give God half-hearted service. Ginger Bulletin did a Facebook post a few weeks ago about 400s. And if I understood the post correctly, what it was saying was 0.04. If I take 0.04 from 100%, I get 99.96. Is 99.96% good enough for God? Okay, if it is, how about just 99%? Well, if 99%, so can I try 95%? You get my point? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do all in the name of the, or do all for the glory of God. So we might say, if I was out building a fence and somebody was helping me get it straight, make sure it's just right, I might say, oh, that's close enough. But just saying that's just good enough, that's not good enough for God. He wants the best. So we need to strive for excellence in all that we do. So most of our discussion tonight will be centered around our children's Bible classes. But like I said, I hope something will come out that will apply to all of us. So we'll have three key components involved in our children's classes: teacher, the students, and parents. All three are essential. If I have great parents and great students, but unprepared and uncaring teachers, we've got a problem. If I have great parents and eager teachers, but uninterested students, I've got a problem. If I have great teachers and interested students, but I don't have involved parents, I've got a problem. I did a sermon earlier this year where I used a three-leg stool to represent grace, faith, and obedience. Well, we got our stew back tonight. This time for great classes, we need teachers, parents, and students all involved. Take away any one of the legs and we got a problem. Let's ask this question at a very early stage. When we go to a Bible class, what are we doing? And we all know the answer to that. Any Bible class I go to, I'm studying God's word. We all recognize that. But just stop and think about that just for a minute. Do I think about that each time I go into a Bible class? Hey, I'm here to study God's word. Do I get here in time to be ready and prepared, as, or do I come in late and interrupt the class? What would I do if God were physically present? How would I prepare? 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You remember that passage back in Nehemiah chapter 8? When all the people gathered together in the open square in the front of the water gate, and they told Ezra to go get the book of the law and bring it out. In verse 5, what did the people do when they opened the book, opened the scroll? They all stood up. Why? Because it's God's word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but it as it is in truth the word of God. So whether I'm a teacher or a student or a parent, these words and these lessons will impact me and my children before we spend eternity. So, let's talk about the first leg of our stew. Dedicated teachers. It takes a high level of commitment to be a teacher. So think, it's a Wednesday, and I've been at work. I've had a really hard, stressful day. So I rush in, try to grab a bite to eat, grab my books, head out to class, knowing I'm not as prepared as I ought to be. Do we let our teaching become a casual thing? Do we give God sometimes our second best? Back in Ezra again, this time in chapter 7, verse 10, it says, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Ezra studied the law, practiced it, so he could teach it. I can't teach what I don't know. And to try to teach it without doing it, it's hypocritical. Maybe you're teaching the preschool class. You think, oh, that's just mostly babysitting anyhow. Really? A quote from Max Dawson on the video. He says, Catholic Church says, give us a child until he's 8 and he'll die Catholic. Now, I think I've heard that before. Give us a child until he's 6 and he'll die Catholic. Doesn't matter. Same point. But they're saying in the first 8 years of a child's life, they can indoctrinate and teach that child enough that they will keep them in the Catholic Church the rest of their lives. Little children can learn. I've seen it here. I've seen two-year-olds reciting memory verses. Moms know they can learn. Some of our teachers know they can learn. We spend our time wisely. But after I've studied, as Ezra said, after I've studied and know the lesson that I plan to present, how do I communicate that lesson to my students at their appropriate age level, of course, for where they are? And please don't ask me to teach the four-year-olds. There's no way I can communicate at their level. You know, the attention span varies based on age and maturity. You have to keep shifting the methods, presenting the lesson in different ways. Keep their attention. Impress the points that you wanted them to understand. And it's challenging to do that. So we need teachers who are willing to study, to know the truth, and then they're dedicated to their students. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul had given this list of all the problems and trials he'd been through. Well, Let's just start in verse 27. A weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Now listen, how do he feel about those he had been teaching? Verse 28. And besides the other things, what comes on me daily is my deep concern for all the churches. Is Paul dedicated to his students? Paul certainly didn't have that attitude. I'll put it out there. If they get it, that's good. Paul was concerned about their growth and their knowledge. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica after Timothy had come and brought news from them. Paul was anxious to hear this news. He says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all affliction and distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith. When Paul heard this report from Timothy, he was glad because their faith was strong. He was very interested in these Christians that he had taught. Are my students getting the message? Why are they not learning? What can I do to help? Am I just punching my clock? Do your students know that you really, really care? Dedicated to the word, dedicated to the students, and now dedicated to the work. And it is work to teach. It takes time to study, to decide how you're going to present the material, to make the classroom ready, to make copies. What am I going to do with the 40 minutes I've got twice a week? In an entire quarter, we have less than 15 hours of actual teaching time. How am I going to use it? Many of you know that work is involved. You spend hours studying first. And that's first. We should never try to teach what we haven't studied. But then it's the how time. How will I present this? How will I get the students to understand? What teaching aids will I use? We used to teach something called PIE, present, involve, and evaluate. How am I going to involve my students? How am I going to maximize their learning opportunity? I've seen entire classrooms here transformed in some way to set the stage for a certain lesson. Hours spent after we finish our study finding the right pictures, getting my PowerPoint right, finding a good drawing of the temple, changing the entire wall of a classroom like a river so I can impress something on the students, and on. Dedicated teachers, dedicated to the truth, to the students, and to the work. Now let's look at the second one, involved parents. Classes are not just between you or between the teacher and your child. What's the parent's role? First, things have to start at home. Start training your teaching your children at home. Eastside and many others have come a long ways in the quality of Bible classes, at least compared to what I grew up with. We're offering a lot more. David Banning, in this video, made that very point. He said, when he travels around the country and visits various congregations, he sees a big improvement in classes almost everywhere he goes. However, parents, the 40 minutes that your children spend in Sunday morning and 40 minutes on Wednesday night in classes is in no way relieves you of your parental role in teaching your children at home. Yeah, you're responsible for them attending class. You're responsible for them being here, being prepared. But so much to it, more to it than that. We all know what Ephesians 6:4 says. There's no doubt from that verse who has the responsibility of teaching the children. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, that very familiar passage. Well, I was working on this, like I said, about 3 months ago. Steve taught about half my lesson when he included a long discussion of Deuteronomy 6 in one of his Sunday morning lessons. So I'm going to go back to it tonight. Deuteronomy 6. Read those familiar verses in 6 through 9. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Shall bind them as signs on your hands. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Why? Why did Moses tell the children of Israel to have the words of God constantly before them? Well, back up to verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land that you are crossing over to possess. Now, remember in Deuteronomy, Moses is talking to them just before they go into the promised land. His one last shot, if you will, in encouraging and teaching the people. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your day may be prolonged. Your children should be well prepared for Bible classes before they ever get to the building. That doesn't mean, oh, they've got their lesson sheet completed or they got their memory verse done. They're prepared because Deuteronomy 6:7 says, the word of God fills their very life. You're teaching them what it means to study. They've seen you study, parents. They know reverence and respect because you're demonstrating it. Look again at verse 2. Who are you going to influence? You, and of course, your spouse, your children, and your grandchildren. Just look at the failure of this very group of people. Who are they? Moses is talking to them just before they enter the promised land. They conquer it under the leadership of Joshua. What's the very next book after Joshua? What's the book of Judges? And those who know the book of Judges know that it is a sad, sad repetition of departure from serving God. Over and over and over, they turn away from God. 350 years of failing to serve God properly. How many times does the book of Judges say, every man did what was right in his own eyes? Let me put this sideline thought in. We have some great school systems here in this area. I went to ABS. My children did. Some of my grandchildren did. There you go to Bible class every day. In our public school systems here, we have some wonderful, godly teachers who will do their very best to steer your children in the right direction. But the school system, nor the church, replaces your responsibility in Ephesians 6:4, placed directly on the Father. I have failed in many areas of my life. This is one that's on my failure list. Fathers, young fathers, don't let it be on yours. After having studied with my children at home as a parent, now I can focus on the supplemental effort that's provided here by our Bible classes. What's your child's lesson about this morning? What quarter of history is your child currently studying? What applications has the teacher made to try to affect your child's life? David made the point in the video. If you know your child's batting average from baseball or softball, but don't know what the class Bible class lesson was about, You've missed it. Then it continues, all over the country I hear teachers asking, how do we get children to prepare for class? David says, I think the problem may be that between Sunday and Wednesday, we've talked about school and homework and baseball and piano lessons and many other things, but we haven't talked about God's word and preparing for classes. I'd like to share with you about a 2-minute video clip that comes from this discussion between Max and David. Max will speak first. He's the one on the left.
God. And David, and I'm going to say something that may sound harsh, but I think some parents are convinced that if I can get my kid in one more baseball league, if I can get him in one more soccer league, that that's what he really needs in life. And sometimes kids are baseball to death, they're soccer league to death, they're piano lessoned to death, but they're not getting any of the Word of God.
Can I tell you the story of the box of trophies? When we moved from Beaumont, Texas to Birmingham, Alabama, at the same time my oldest son had just graduated college and was leaving home for his first job, and we were packing up his things. And when he finished packing, there were two boxes sitting in the garage that had his name on them. And I said, well, what are those two boxes? And he opened them up and he said, those are my old trophies, my old baseball trophies. We played a lot of baseball when he was growing up. That was important to us, probably too important to us. And yet here he is, he's 22 years old, he's finishing college, he's moving off, and what he tried to do was leave those trophies with me. He wasn't quite ready to throw them away, but he didn't want to take them with him either. And I said, well, you know, look, they're your trophies, you can do what you want to, but they're not staying here, I'm not taking them to Alabama with me. But the point was, I looked at that box of trophies and I thought, when he was 10 years old, that was so important, what those trophies represented, baseball practice, baseball games, winning the games, doing well, baseball lessons. And that part of his life is now in a box that nobody wants to carry with them. I think parents lose that perspective. These little trivialities consume us and consume our time. And I promise you as a parent, you're going to turn around a few times, your kids are going to be grown, and you're going to be arguing over who's going to take the box of baseball trophies. What matters with your kids is not what their batting average in Little League was last season or how well they did at their piano recital. What matters is that they go to heaven when they die. And that's about what we're doing every day to help them know the Word of God.
And finally, with parents, supporting our teachers. How long since you told your child's teacher how much you appreciate the work they do? Do we, as parents, just speak up when something goes wrong? Do we only talk about the negatives? First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. Have you ever told one of your children's teachers, my wife and I often give thanks for you when we pray. We're thankful you're teaching our child, and we want to do all we can to support your efforts. Support our teachers. And then lastly, it's respectful students. And this one applies to all of us, not just the children's classes, because we're all in a class, and we're going to bring something to that class to make it better or make it worse. As adults, what attitude and what preparation did I bring to my Bible class this morning? Did I prepare anything before I came? How do you ever teach your children to be prepared and being involved if you aren't prepared and involved in class? Again, maybe a little hypocritical. If parents are teaching respect for the Word of God at home, will naturally follow, the children will adapt that respect to the process as it involves our classes. They'll begin at an early age to realize Bible class time is special. We're always here. Have you ever thought that if we take Sunday morning and Wednesday night and kind of combine them, almost half our time is spent in Bible classes? Our children need to learn to respect this time as special. Now, we as parents are committed to make the very best of this learning experience for them. Paying attention in class is hard. It's hard for me as an adult sometimes. My mind drifts. I think about something I did this morning. When you get old, think about that doctor's appointment you got tomorrow. It's tough sometimes for us as adults to pay attention. So how do we instill that in our children? Well, it's a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. They're going to learn a lot from watching you, parents. You give the speaker your attention during the sermon. Or teaching them to sit quietly in the auditorium, age appropriate, of course. Are they learning what you expect from them? As they grow older, you check with your teacher about how they're doing in class. You talk to the teacher about how can my child make improvements in the class. Think again for a minute about respecting the teacher. And I guess this is for all ages. As the teacher moves from point to point during this lesson, and particularly making applications, at some point that teacher is going to say something that can challenge or change your behavior. That's what the Word of God does. It molds us. It changes our behavior to what God wants us to be. And sometimes that might hit me a little hard. Or I might hit my child a little hard. Do I go home talking negatively about what the teacher said? How it affected me? As a student, do you respect your teacher and the time they spent preparing just for one class? Same applies for those who are teaching our children. Teaching takes a lot of time. And as students, we need to appreciate and respect our teachers. Now, one more thought for us as students, it could be adults or children, either one. How are we impacting others in the class? Am I, as a student, contributing to the class in a positive, helpful way? Teenagers, are you being a positive influence in your class? Others will watch you and take clues from you. Think about yourself as the captain of the sports team, and you're leading your class to pay attention and to be the best student that you can. And older teens, think about this possibility. That maybe there's just a younger teen that's just considering becoming a Christian, and they're watching you and your role as an example. So, as we start to close these comments, let me mention this and ask that all of us give consideration to the elders, the deacons, particularly to Tim and Justin as they direct and work with our classes. They may make decisions that you don't agree with. Should my child stay in this class, go to that class, what age, we're going to start the little ones, how are we going to split the classes up? Like I said, there's a big effort underway to revamp the curriculum into 4 years instead of three, maybe something about that that you don't like. Give it a chance. Those working on the new material have said, we're going to do our best to give good lessons to the teachers. After the first time we go through it, we can modify it, we can change it, we can make it better. So having been there, I can assure you, all the elders Tim, Justin, want out of the Bible classes is what's best for you and your child. Let's all work with them. Having talked about dedicated teachers, involved parents, and respectful students, has anything been said tonight that might trigger a thought in your mind as to either a parent, a teacher, or a student, whichever you are? And that last group gets about all of us. Something I might change or do better? While it's fresh on your mind, what might you do different? Maybe you're a teacher and you're thinking, you know, I just don't know as much as I should. Or sometimes I just don't know how to prepare. Or I seem to just lost my zeal. Make a plan right now. Commit to seek help. There's lots of good, experienced teachers here who would love to give you all the help that you need. Just ask. But what if you've never taught? You really know you probably should. If you leave Hebrews 5:12, there's a time when you ought to be teachers. And of course, this is all based on ability and maturity. I understand that. Back in the mid-1980s, I was not nearly as experienced as I am. I took two young men, at least they were young at that time, with me into a class I was teaching. I told them, okay, next class, you talk about the lesson for 5 minutes, and you get 5 minutes worth of questions. Now, if it doesn't take you 10 minutes, I'll finish out the class. If it don't take you 5 minutes, I'll finish out the class. So we prodded along through that class, and they got more and more and more involved. Well, I'm here tonight. He's a teacher. I don't take any credit for that. I didn't do anything except just push the start button. So if you need to push on your start button, talk to Tim or Justin. They'll be glad to pair you up with a good teacher who can help you fulfill what Hebrews 5:12 says. Maybe it is time for you to be teaching. Or what if you're a parent and you don't know as much as you should about the Word of God? Or maybe this gets a lot of us. We aren't prioritizing our time at home as we should. What plans can you make right now to change that? Set some new goals? Are there too many interruptions at your house that you don't have time for family time and study time? What are you going to cut out? Remember, parents, you're in charge, not the children. Do you listen to talk radio as you drive back and forth to work every day? There's lots of good Bible apps that can play the audio. There's lots of good sermons online. I knew of a man who used to, when he's driving his children to school in the mornings, would have prayer time with them. Prayer time that they would have a good day at school and that mom would have a good day at home. How are you going to achieve the real ultimate goal for your family and not just wind up with a box of trophies? And how about all of us as students? Can I study more? Can I prepare more? Can I work on focus and involvement in class more? What can I do? Not many of us have hit perfection yet. Surely something I can do to be better as a student. So commit right now. I can be better. A better teacher, a better parent, a better student. I can make our Bible classes better. Here's what I'm going to do that. Thank you for listening to me talk about something that's special to me tonight. I know it's special to many of you too. Jesus issued an invitation when he said, come to me. He told his apostles to take that message out to the world and tell them that anyone who would repent and be baptized will be saved. If we can help you tonight in some way to make your life right with Jesus, please come to the front.